WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Joel Forrester at the piano. He'll be back with us a little later in the show. Joining us with his accordion is Guy Klisevic. As you probably know, the accordion has mostly broken through its stereotype as the squarest of all instruments. It's now considered hip and eccentric. Guy Klisevic has had a lot to do with that change in image, although being trendy has been about the furthest thing from his mind. Klisevic is not only among today's leading accordion performers, he's one of the most important composers writing for the instrument. He's written polkas, ballads, avant-garde music, and of course, avant-garde polkas. He has a new solo album called Manhattan Cascade on CRI, and he's just returned from a performance in Japan where his album Polka Dots and Laser Beams was recently released. And maybe he'll play a jet lag polka for us. Guy Klisevic, welcome to Fresh Air.
Pleasure to have you here.
You actually recently discovered an obscure Duke Ellington polka. Maybe you could tell us how you found it and play us a bit of that.
Sure. Anthony Coleman is one of the composers that was in my Polka from the Fringe collection. And very early on, when I asked him to write a polka for me, he said, you know, Duke Ellington has one, too. And I said, no, I didn't know. And it was written for a piece called the U-Wiss Suite, which was written at the University of Wisconsin in 79. And while he was in Wisconsin, he heard some Frank Yankovic recordings, a Slovenian accordion player, and decided to write a piece for the band while he was in residence there. So he wrote this little piece. I'll play you an excerpt of it.
In addition to, you know, discovering polkas, new ones and traditional ones, you've commissioned a lot of new polkas from various composers. I know what a polka is when I hear it, but if you ask me what it is, I wouldn't be able to describe it. So what is a polka?
Well, a lot of the composers ask me the same question. They had never heard one before. I grew up with Slovenian-American polkas, but there's German polkas, Czech polkas, Tex-Mex polkas, Cajun polkas. What they all have in common is that they're all two steps. And 99% of the time, they're in a major key, and they're sort of fast. And the combination of being fast and in a major key has always given them the impression of being good time music.
You've written a polka. You've written several polkas, but you've written one I'd like you to play now. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us what it's called?
Well, it's called The Grass It Is Blue Ain't Nothing But a Polka.
Is this a bluegrass pun?
It's a bluegrass pun.
For those of us who didn't get the joke.
Exactly, yeah. And let me just, it has a little bit of lyrics in the middle, which I'll just sing you the chorus and then a little that comes after that. If it ain't got swing, so a little rhythm, spice up that thing.
That's great. I love the idea of writing and commissioning kind of avant-garde polkas and of taking something that had become so corny and making it really new and adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
You really scared me when you said that there's a chorus. See, my nightmare is to be live on the radio with somebody expecting me to sing along, you know?
No. I knew better than that.
You gave me a scare for a second. Now, there's something else I want you to play, and this is a composition of yours. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to give everybody a sense of how kind of versatile you are and what you've been doing with the accordion, which I think very few people have done. This is a really weird piece in the kind of, John Cage tradition?
Yeah, I think John Cage was one of my first influences as a composer. I heard him first when I was a student in the 60s. And I especially liked his pieces from the 30s and 40s that were based on rhythm as being the primary element. And I wrote this little piece called 11 Large Lobsters Loose in the Lobby. And it's based on a dream I had, like many of my pieces. I'm on the road a lot, like most musicians, and have many airport experiences, of course. And I had a dream that we were getting ready to take off for Europe from JFK Airport, and our flight was canceled, and we were put up at a Holiday Inn airport. And as we got to the lobby, the maitre d' de hotel or whatever showed us the first room of a suite that we were to have. And when I walked in the room, there were all kind of lobsters loose in there, and armadillos, and 40 or 50 cats, and an incredible stench. And my first thought, which shows an aspect of my character that I'm not proud to admit, was that I would have to give this room to the guitar player. So I'm a survivor, I guess, but so anyway, that gave me the impetus to write this little rhythmic piece. Lobsters won, you know.
I hope that dream isn't contagious.
No.
Oh, that's a wonderful piece. Oh, I really want to talk with you about composing for the accordion and the kind of idiosyncrasies about the instrument that you use in pieces like that, for instance, getting all the wind from the bellows. But first, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back more with accordionist Guy Klusevic. This is Fresh Air. Guy Klusevic is my guest. He has his accordion. And Guy, I want to ask you about composing for the accordion. You've written some pretty far-out stuff where most people think of the accordion as being a very traditional instrument. What is it about the instrument that makes you hear like more far-out avant-garde possibilities?
Well, I had a teacher from the time I was about 8 until I was 18 who actually trained me in violin and piano music transcriptions. And then when I was 16, near the end of my study with him, there was a series of commissions to the American Accordionist Association where they actually commissioned people like Alan Hovhaness and Wallingford Rieger and Virgil Thompson to write pieces for the accordion. And he introduced me to these pieces, and I took to him immediately. And it was funny because that actually was the parting of the ways for us. He was very much of a staunch conservative and didn't like any music that was written after 1900. And I immediately, at 16 years of age, took to this language. And I think what I liked about the pieces was that they were written directly for the instrument and took advantage of the special characteristics of it. One of the dangers when I ask people to write for me is that they look at the instrument and they think it's a keyboard instrument. And the problem with that is that the bellows change everything.
Mm-hmm. And How do the bellows change everything?
Well, all the breathing comes from the bellows. It's much more like a polyphonic wind instrument. You can play several lines at once, but they all have to breathe at the same time. So the expression all comes from the bellows, which is its great strength. It's also its great limitation because you can't play true independent lines in the left and right hand because at some point you have to change the direction of the bellows and you have to break the phrase in both hands at the same time. So for instance, when I used to play Bach Inventions when I was 16 or 17, you couldn't really play them correctly because he had this wonderful way of overlapping the lines. One line would be ending, but the new melody line would be beginning like a beat and a half before that. And you can't really do that on the accordion because of the bellows.
There's a piece of yours I'd like to hear that, you know, we've heard like far out stuff and polka stuff, but you have a waltz that's mm-hmm. based on a traditional melody that's really very, very beautiful. And it's completely different spirit from what you've played. Mm-hmm. Because time is short, I think I'll have to ask you to play a kind of shorter version of it.
Yeah. It's the name of the piece is Viavi Rose Variations. It's based on a Malagasy tune from Madagascar. And I'll preface it by saying that I listen to a lot of accordion musics from unusual places in the world, unusual in that we don't associate them normally with accordions. I didn't know there was accordion music in Madagascar until I heard a recording. Mm-hmm. And I also listen to a lot of accordion music from Colombia and the Dominican Republic and Brazil and Argentina. And this will also give you an idea of my compositional style because I play the theme literally to this tune, but then I wrote my own B theme, which is a totally contrasting theme that came out of it. And then I present a series of variations on both the original tune and my tune. I'll just give you a little selection. This is the original theme. Now play one of the variations.
Really beautiful. That's one of the things I love about you. You know, you could do this far out stuff, and this is really like emotionally moving.
Thank you.
Stuff. Yeah.
I think one of the things that I had to come to terms with about 5 years ago, I used to write very severe minimalist music, and I found out that it limited my means of expression. In literature, there's always been a tradition that the same work of art could be outrageously scatological, very funny, and very serious at the same time, in a lot of James Joyce's work. But in music, there's a real schism between serious music and light music. And so I just tried to open up my musical personality so that I wasn't afraid to be serious, I wasn't afraid to be frivolous, I didn't let that threaten my seriousness as an artist.
Very briefly, because we're just about out of time, do you have any frustrations with the instrument?
Oh, not aesthetically, I don't have any frustrations. It's still very frustrating in terms of the image of it. Everybody wants to know why you play accordion, whereas they don't want to know why you play violin or why you play piano. I do it because I started doing it when I was 6 and I didn't know it was a life decision at the time. Now it would be like taking away an arm or a leg. It's part of, you know, why I get up in the morning and what makes me breathe.
Well, I'm really glad you play it because you're someone who's made me hear the instrument in a completely different way. And I love your music, and I thank you very much for playing some of it for us. Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
And if you want to hear more of Guy Klisevic's music, he has a solo album called Manhattan Cascade. That's on CRI Records. And he's got a Japanese import album called Polka Dots and Laser Beams, and that has a lot of polkas on it. And that's a Japanese import, but you can find it in many American record stores. Guy Klisevic, thanks a lot. And Guy's going to stick around. We'll be back a little later. And with us in just 60 seconds will be Joel Forrester to play some music for us. This is Fresh Air.